All right, you may be seated. Let's take our Bibles. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. What a privilege to be here this morning and to preach the second chapel of the school year. And it's good to see everyone back that's been gone for the summer. And then, of course, lots of new folks that are here today. And we don't have hazing, but we do have bus routes, okay? And we also have night bus. So anyway, but we're glad you're here. And how many of you have a sibling in college? Raise your hand. You have a sibling in college? Wow, many of you do. And I went to school with my younger sibling, and I was here 2 years before she came here, and it was just cool to have a sibling in college with me. And of course, we came all the way from Massachusetts to come here to Bible college, but that's pretty cool. How many of you have a cousin here in college? You have a cousin here? Oh, wow. Very good. Let me give you some advice. If you start to like someone, make sure you're sure that you're not related to them, okay? We have a lot of connections in our college student body, and we're not in Kentucky, okay? We're in Indiana. We don't want anything crazy happening here, but we are glad that you're here. And freshmen, raise your hand. All the freshmen, raise your hand. We'll make you stand. But so good to see you. How many freshmen have been asked more than once to join someone's bus route? Would you raise your hand? You've been asked more than once, okay? Good. How many have been asked multiple times? You've been asked multiple times, okay? All right, very good. Of course, Saturday we'll start our bus meeting right here at 9 o'clock. Be right here on time, and we'll introduce you to the bus route. And I know you won't understand this yet, but one day you will. One day you'll understand how impactful the bus ministry can be. You know, I've said this so many times, but, you know, when I came here to college and I got involved in the bus ministry, I thought, man, this is really a good thing. We're going to go to Chicago every single week, and we're going to make a difference in their lives. And we did. And we do every weekend. But you know, the truth is, they've made a difference in my life. And I'm different. I've changed because of the influence of our bus riders. And just to see, yesterday we had our first day of City Baptist School and lots of new students. And I thanked all the bus workers and those that had a part in putting students in school. And we call them overcomers. And they're overcomers for good reason. And just watching some of their faces and realizing where they come from and some of the family situations that they have to deal with. And to see them in City Baptist Chapel yesterday singing songs about Jesus and attending a Christian school and being in an environment that will nurture them in the admonition of the Lord. They don't get that at home. And in many cases, but they get it at City Baptist. And I appreciate all the work and those that are involved in helping put kids in City Baptist. And we'll talk more about that on Saturday. But so glad you're here. Thank you, visitors, for being here, Brother Campus. So good to see you today and for being here this morning, and other visitors. 1 Peter chapter number 1. And I want to just real quickly just mention, I've had a few people ask me about my health. And a few years ago, probably 3, 4, 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with AFib. And it's just a heart arrhythmia. It just means I get too excited about Jesus. My heart kind of doesn't beat like it's supposed to. I did not have a heart attack. I may have one this weekend. I don't know, but I did not have a heart attack. I don't have any heart blockage or anything like that. I don't have high blood pressure. But over the summer, right before youth conference, I did have a little episode where they felt like I needed to have a pacemaker put in. And so they put in a pacemaker, and since then I've been great. So I don't want anybody to think that I'm on my desk door. It's not like that. And I feel like Iron Man. I got this thing in my chest now, and have never felt better. But thank you for your prayers. I appreciate that very, very much. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's look at these verses together. 1 Peter chapter 1, and follow along as I read. The Bible says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And I want you to read verse 7 with me out loud. Ready? That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would take these next few moments for chapel. I pray, Lord, that you would take the message, speak to our hearts. I pray that you would give us exactly what we need for this day. I pray that you'd help us to learn the lessons, Father, we find from your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The most important thing about us is our faith. I thank God for my faith. I thank God for the faith that was passed down to me from my family and from others who have gone before me. Faith is very important. Faith determines how we live our life. Faith determines what our life will look like in the future. Faith will determine our final destination. If you have faith in Christ, heaven will be your home. If you have put your faith in the cross, in the blood of Jesus, then when life is over, you'll find yourself face to face with Jesus Christ. Thank God for the faith that we have in common in this room this morning. We're from all over the country. We're from all over the world in some cases, but we have something in common, and that is our faith in Jesus Christ. In verse number seven, if we go back there, if you would please, the Bible says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold. Our faith is more precious than gold. What we believe in whom we put our trust is very valuable. I value my faith. It's important to me. It's what I believe. It's what I'm trusting. And your faith ought to be valuable to you. It ought to be important to you. There ought to be some things in life that you're willing to die for, and it ought to be your faith in God, your faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that our faith brings praise and honor and glory to God. I'm so glad that I didn't grow up in a home where we were taught to bow down before gods and worship false images. At Albany Park, we have a mosque right across the street from our church. And they have their worship services, but they're not worshiping Christ. They're worshiping idols. They're worshiping their gods. And go two blocks behind us, and there's another mosque, and they have their false religion. And then you have Catholicism, and they have their false religion. And I'm so glad this morning that I have a heritage of godliness and a heritage of having a mom and a dad and preachers through my life that have preached and have taught a faith that is real. And it's a faith that is found in the Word of God. But I also want you to notice in that same verse, the Bible says that our faith will be tested. Our faith will be tested. And even as a student at Hiles Anderson College, your faith will be tested. Your faith is important because it determines how you live. And, you know, it's sad to say this, but so many of our former students are not living out the faith that they were handed to, that was handed to them. They're not, their life doesn't exemplify the faith that they heard preached week after week after week. The same faith that was given to them, they're not living that out. Somewhere along the line, that faith became weak. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, while you're in Bible college, your faith ought to increase. It ought to grow. It shouldn't diminish. It ought to be precious to you. It ought to be valuable to you. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. The words hold fast is a term that sailors would use on a ship out in the sea when the sea would become rough and the waves would come and the rain would come and there was the danger of being washed off the boat. They would yell, "Hold fast," which meant find something that you can hang on to so you don't get washed off the boat. You don't get washed off the ship. And the Bible says that we need to hold fast to something that is strong. Why? Because the storms of life will come. There will be difficulties. There will be challenges. Your faith will be tested. And the question will boil down to this. What are you holding on to? What are you hanging on to survive the storms of life? I hope you're holding on to the Bible. I hope you're holding on to the principles of God's word, holding on to your faith, because it's so important. God wants us to have faith that is unwavering. But the devil is going to attack your faith. Because he knows how valuable faith can be and how valuable faith in God and faith in his word can be. And so the devil will do everything he can possible to cause doubts. I don't know, there may be someone in here this morning who already has some doubts about why you're here. You moved into dorms. Maybe your parents have left. And you're already having some doubts. Is this where I'm supposed to be? Is this what God wants? Is this what I want? I'll never forget Dr. Evans standing behind this pulpit many, many times making this statement, never undo in doubt what you did in faith. You see, you made a decision by faith to come to Hiles Anderson College. Never undo what you, and because you're having some doubts, don't undo that. Live by the faith that you exercise that caused you to come to this Bible college. You know, I think doubt is normal. I think it's normal to doubt. I came here from the state of Massachusetts. My parents did not drop me off. I drove with someone else out here. We came 1,000 miles. I came onto this campus not knowing one person. Didn't know the faculty, didn't know the staff, didn't know any students. As far as I know, there was no one here from my home state. And I was in for the shock of my life. I didn't understand what all I was getting into. And you say, well, Brother John, were you ever You know, were you homesick? Yeah, I was homesick. I mean, did you cry? Yeah, there were times when I cried. But you know, but that's okay. It means I have a good family and I had a good church and I love the people at home, but this is where God wanted me to be. I want to talk to you this morning in the next few moments that we have this today on what builds faith. You know, of all the things I believe that God wanted me to bring this morning, I think there's one truth that I think that if you would really grab a hold of, it could help you get through Bible college and could even help you throughout your ministry if you'd understand how important your faith is. How important it is to have faith in God. What builds faith? How can I increase my faith? Number one, depend on God. Depend on God. Take your Bibles. You know the verse, but take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Did you drink your water, Brother Mitchell? I'm going to drink it anyway. You don't have any diseases or anything, do you? Read with me, verse number 5. You know this mostly by heart. Read it out loud with me, would you? What's it say? It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. That'd be a good verse to recite to yourself every day while you're in Bible college. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And in those days when you wake up in the morning, you say, well, I just don't get this. I just don't understand what all is happening. Trust in the Lord. You know, God dependence begins when self dependence ends. You will begin to fully depend on God when you quit depending on yourself. Self dependence comes to an end when sorrow, affliction, broken dreams, and hopes bring you to a place of helplessness. Not hopelessness, but helplessness. Where you just have to say to the Lord, God, I need you. God, I can't keep going forward. I don't know what's next. I don't know what to do next. And you're to that place in your life, and your only option is to say, Lord, I need you. And can I tell you, young people, that is a great place to be. It's a good place to be in your life when you get to, Brother Dr. Evans used to say this. He'd say, when you get to the end of the rope, what'd he say? Tie a knot and hang on. And sometimes you get to the end where you just don't know what to do. You're helpless and you have to say, Lord, help me. Help me. And that's saying to God, I can't do this by myself. It's a humility that we're missing today. It's a humility that says, I don't have it all figured out. I don't understand it all. I don't have all the answers, but I know who does. And that moment of helplessness where your only option is to say, God, I need you. And just believe that God will help you. God knows the answers. And he knows why you're here. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But what builds faith? It's depending on God. It's just knowing that God is in control. I read this morning in Psalm 118, God is on our side. And I love that little phrase, God is on our side. And young people, God is on your side. There's nobody in the world that's pulling for you any more than God is. I know your parents love you, and I know your pastor loves you, and I know they're pulling for you, but listen, nobody is pulling for you any more than God is. God's pulling for you. He wants you to make it. He wants you to survive. He wants you to live for him and to serve him, but he wants you to depend on him. Total, complete dependence on God. By the way, it's how we get saved. You don't get saved by your partial works and then some dependence on God. No, it's got to be 100%. It has to be 100% dependence on God. I've had people tell me that the reason they're saved is because they trusted in Jesus, but they also got baptized. No. Baptism has nothing to do with salvation. It's not a condition for salvation. Salvation is putting 100% faith in Christ. And that's where God wants us to live every single day. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. Every day I die to myself and I say to the Lord, I need you. I'm going to depend on you to help me get through this day. What builds faith? Depending on God. Number two, what builds faith? The Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And let me just say this to you this morning. Don't get so caught up in the busyness of college that your Bible gets neglected. You know, the easiest place in the whole world to backslide is Hiles Anderson College. The easiest place to backslide is a Bible college. Why? Because you get Bible every day in chapel. And you get Bible in your classes. You get Bible almost everywhere you go. You get the Bible. But listen, the Bible needs to be a personal book that you cherish every single day of your life. And there has to be a time and a place every day where you read the Bible. And the Bible becomes very important to you. And don't get caught up in saying to yourself and letting the devil convince you that you're too busy to pray and read your Bible. You're too busy to take a few moments every single day. And by the way, your Bible for your classes is not the same. There needs to be you're not just reading the Bible to fulfill a requirement. You need to read the Bible for understanding. You know, we've all been there. You read chapters of the Bible and you daydream and your mind just kind of goes wherever. And it's like, man, I have no idea what I just read. How many that has ever happened to you? And the rest of you are lying, okay? It happens. It happens. And you know what I have to do when I catch myself doing that? I have to go back and reread it. Because I don't want to just read the Bible to put in my time. I want to read the Bible because I want God to speak to me. There's three things I ask God every day to help me when I read the Bible. Number one, I want God to challenge me. The Bible's a very challenging book. I want to be challenged by the stories I read. I want to be challenged by the principles that I learn every day as I read the Bible. I want to be challenged by the Bible. But then also, I want to be convicted. I want God to convict me because I know I'm not what I should be. There's so much room to grow and so many areas of my life where I need to improve, and I need God to tell me what it is, and I want to be convicted. I want God to show me from His Word and teach me from the Bible. I don't want to waste just 30 minutes of reading the Bible or 45 minutes or an hour of just reading the Bible and just walk away with no conviction. And not even be bothered by anything that ought to be different about my life. Then the last thing I want God to do is I want God to change me. I want to be changed. I want something to be different about my life that I'm convicted about, that I'm challenged about. Then I want to be changed by the Word of God. What builds faith? Number one, depending on God. Number two, the Word of God. Number three, problems and challenges. In verse 7, the Bible says that the trial of your faith will be tested. This semester, this year, your faith will be tested. There will be problems to face. And by the way, everybody's problems will be different. No two people in this room will face the exact same problem. Every issue, every challenge, everything you face this year will be unique. It'll be allowed by God. God will approve it. He'll approve for you to go through this trial. He'll approve for you to go through this challenge. And it's going through those challenges that build our faith. Every challenge you face will prepare you for the next one. You know, the thing about life is we don't know the future. We don't know what's down the road. We don't know what challenges we'll face next year, the year after, or after graduation, or what we'll face 10 or 20 years from now. But every challenge that you face today will prepare you for the next challenge. So many students I've known that have a hard time passing these tests. And it's like they never get past certain things in their life, and they seem to always struggle with the same thing over and over and over and over again. God wants us to learn. He wants us to grow. And he wants us to take the problems that we face this year, and he wants our faith to be increased. I love, take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13. We'll see the word temptation, tempted, in this verse. And the word temptation could also be translated testing. It's also a test. Temptation could also be defined as a test in our life. The Bible says, there hath no test. Read it with me. Ready? There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Which means that every test that you face, God has a way out. Every challenge you face this year, God has an answer. Whatever it is, it might be finances, it might be a relationship issue, it may be something going on back home that has really complicated your life. But whatever it is, God has a way out. He has a way for you to make it through and for your faith to increase. Let me close with this last statement, this last point. What builds faith? Depending on God. What builds faith? The Word of God, problems and challenges. And then also this, the confidence that God has a purpose for your life. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Every one of you are here for a purpose. And that purpose is to accomplish something eternal for the cause of Christ. You know, the first time I preached in College Chapel was in 1990. I remember walking out that door and just being as nervous and as scared as I could be, standing behind the pulpit of Howells Anderson College preaching a message. But you know, Brother Mitchell, that same feeling I had in 1990, the same feeling I had this morning when I walk out in this room. You know why? Because of the potential in this room. The potential in this room for young people to do something big for God and to make an eternal impact. It's just the burden of that. It's a heaviness. And I hope this morning that you'll have the confidence that God has a purpose for your life. And by the way, don't get caught up in comparing yourself with other students. Don't get caught up in this saying, well, I'm not a preacher's kid, or you know, I don't have this, or I'm not that. And you know, don't get caught up in that. Well, I don't have any experience, and there's students that come here and they've already worked bus routes and they've already preached their first sermon and all. Look, that's okay. That's wonderful. And I'm glad for those who have that experience coming to Bible college. But if you don't get caught up in that. God has a purpose for your life. God has a plan for your life. And it's not just a little thing. It's a big thing. And it's for eternity. That purpose will start this weekend. That purpose starts this weekend with winning souls to Christ. That purpose starts this weekend on the streets of Chicago as you pass out tracts and invite people to church.
As you begin to invest in others and begin to love others and care about others, and you begin to make that investment, that'll be your purpose, that will carry on. When you finish Bible college, you'll carry that with you, Lord willing, for the rest of your life, making a difference. The Bible says, and some have compassion, making a difference. Have the confidence this morning that God brought you here for a purpose. And it's very specific. And every experience that you've had in your entire life, God is using, and it contributes to the eternal purpose God has for your life. You know, there's things about my life that I don't fully understand. I grew up in a home where my father was hearing, but my mom was deaf. And that was a little bit, it was a little challenging having a, how many CODAs do we have in here? Any CODAs? We have some. Thank you, Kirsten. And it was a little challenging. My same situation. Her mom's deaf and her dad's hearing. My mom was deaf. My mom, say was, she's still alive. She is deaf and my dad's hearing. And you know, I didn't understand all the reasons for that. But I do now. I do now. Albany Park, we probably have, I don't know, Zach, 20. Sometimes we've had as many as 35 deaf people go to our church in Albany Park. And I can communicate, I can talk with them. You know, I didn't understand as a kid some of the embarrassment, you know, just things that she wanted me to do and ask and things like that. And I didn't understand all that, but I do now. I do now, and I thank God for it. And every experience that you've had in your life is for a purpose. Because God wants to use it for his perfect will for your life. And have that confidence. God brought you here for a reason. You need many things to get through Bible college. You need wisdom. You need power of God in your life. You need money. How many need money? Everybody's hand goes up. You need money. But I'm not sure if you need anything any more than you need faith. Faith depending on God. Faith in the Word of God. Faith through problems and challenges. Faith that has the confidence that God has brought me here for a reason. I don't know what it is. It's out there somewhere. But God has a purpose for my life. Would you bow your head? Would you close your eyes? Every head bowed. Every eye closed. I wonder how many this morning would say, Brother John, I want God to build my faith. I want my faith to increase. Would you raise your hand and say, pray for me all over the room? We're going to stand. I'm going to have that. I'm going to ask the piano to play. And if God spoke to you this morning, we're going to take a moment, do some business here at the altar. Ask God today to build your faith. Ask God this morning to increase your faith. Give you the confidence God has a purpose for your life. Build your faith during problems and challenges. Because they'll come. They will come. Ask God to increase your faith.